The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tapia sitting in with us today. We're going to take you up until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to four right here on Sacramento Sports Leader, the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Salute to everybody watching on YouTube, youtube.com/ESPN1320, everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, and of course, you guys listening on the radio at ESPN 1320 a.m. on your radio dial. We appreciate y'all so much for hanging out with us today as we talk NBA trade deadline, Monty McNair's press conference, and something that's related sort of to Monty McNair's press conference. De'Aaron Fox was at shoot-around today before the Spurs game against the Atlanta Hawks, and what he had to say was fascinating in the context of Monty McNair and the Kings improving their roster. McNair also in his press conference made it abundantly clear from the Kings' perspective that there was no way forward long-term with De'Aaron Fox. He made it clear he wanted out. Here's what De'Aaron Fox said today at Spurs shoot-around. This is via Jacob Toby on Twitter. Salute to Tyler and Brendan who both sent me this. Here's what De'Aaron Fox had to say at shoot-around today.
Primary destination or preferred destination?
I mean, I think with the way that they're built, with the athleticism, with the length that they have, and also, I mean, the youth, I just felt like this could be a special team. And what Mike always talked about when I was with him was to win, you have to be able to play defense. And even the year that we had the best offense in the league, I think we ended up being like 23rd, 24th defensively. And then you get to the playoffs and you really feel that. So I think with the intangibles that everybody here has, I think this could be a really good defensive team. And obviously, you have someone very special back there.
Oof.
You want to sum that up for a little bit of the chatty people? There's a lot of basketballs bouncing on the audio.
He said the question was, why were the Spurs your preferred destination? And he said, because of their athleticism and their size and their defense. And that was something that Mike Brown always talked about. Even when we had the best offense in the league, we were 20-something in defense. And it became really clear in the playoffs that you have to be able to play defense. And then at the end, he threw in, like, and also having Wemby.
We have tall people. Now I have tall people. I get to play with tall people.
Size.
They have so many dudes who are like 6'8". He's going to play next to Stephon Castle, who's 6'6". Man. Hearing it, it's not like a surprise. That answer is not like, whoa, I can't believe he said that. I'm not shocked. Hearing it put that plainly, when we've been speculating about that, having De'Aaron in his first media availability with the Spurs be like, I wanted to be here instead of there because they have tall guys who play defense and that wasn't happening there.
I just wonder how much of it is just Monty in the front office have a different team building philosophy.
I think that's it.
Because the size conversation is not something new. We've been talking about that for years.
I think that's kind of what we're learning.
Yeah, like that's just, this is how they view or just how they like to build their team.
And not that I think necessarily Monty McNair is like, it's the whole thing with Kyle Shanahan and running quarterbacks. Kyle Shanahan's always been like, you'd love to have the biggest, fastest, strongest guy, but there are other things he has to be able to do to play the position. I don't think Monty McNair would be like, I would turn down a 6'8" player just because he's 6'8". I just don't know that he prioritizes it to the point that he's going to deal assets and risk financial or roster flexibility to have those players on his roster.
Okay, so here's the problem, though. And let's just take the player stuff out of it because,
okay,
like, if you go back to who was the head coach in Houston and who even interviewed here in Sacramento, Mike D'Antoni.
Mm-hmm.
Mike D'Antoni doesn't coach defense hardly at all. It's a 7-second offense, right? We all know that it's like boom, boom, boom. I just want to score. You look at the rosters in Houston, they were just packed with offensive weapons. And then they did have some good defensive players, you know, Shane Battier or P.J. Tucker. You know, like they were able to find guys that could play defense. in the same way that they've found guys here that can play like Keon Ellis. I just wonder if they're like what the dynamic is here, because you keep trying to go out and find defensive coaches that kind of cover for the fact that you don't play offense. I mean, that you're an offensive team. And I think at some point, like if you're really being realistic with yourself, you should just hire an offensive coach. And I mean, I honestly think that Doug Christie will be the coach moving forward with this team. But Doug is going to preach defense the same way that everyone else did. And the question is, you know, who lasts longer? Mm-hmm. Will it be Monty and Wes, or will it be Doug Christie? And then does the idea of what should happen here change? And then the other interesting thing that I like just stuck in my head when De'Aaron was sitting there talking, Greg Popovich may or may not come back and coach. We do know he had a stroke. We know that he's rehabbing. The chance of him playing coaching again this season is slim. But if they're slim for him to come back this season, it's also possible it's slim that he coaches next year. De'Aaron Fox said the name there. You almost wonder if Mike Brown would be a fit to go back to San Antonio. He's part of the Greg Popovich coaching tree. Mm-hmm. He is a defensive-minded coach. And what if Greg Popovich is, you know, like an overseer of the organization like he sure. has been? But, like, I wouldn't put it past Mike Brown to show up in San Antonio
Not
as a potential
all.
Head coach. And yeah. I just think, hey, that's interesting.
You almost just wish your front office and players and all that were on the same page.
Yeah.
Because it's like Fox and Mike Brown yeah. were clearly hoping for one thing with the roster, and Monty and the rest have their vision for how they want to build it.
The thing with those Rockets teams specifically, James, and I'm glad you brought that up, is I'm looking at their roster. So Chris Paul, 6 foot, but at that time in 2017, 2018, really pesky defender, very good defender. Mm-hmm. Eric Gordon, listed at 6'3". But then it was like PJ Tucker, James Harden, Gerald Green, Joe Johnson played there for a bit, Luke Mbah-Amute, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, Clint Capella. All those dudes were like between 6'5 and 6'10, and they just switched everything.
Yeah.
So it was less about like that one-on-one defense and more, hey, okay, you can get Ryan Anderson in a switch, but then you're dealing with Clint Capella down low. And you have a rim protector back there. The Kings don't have anything like that. The switchability and the versatility defensively is what we talk about a lot.
It's non-existent.
Yeah, they just don't have it.
No.
And that's more where when you look at those Rockets teams, yeah, they scored the hell out of the ball. But also defensively, it was just, we're going to switch everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really difficult they were capable of throwing out some really high-level defensive lineups too. While also being very James Harden centric and scoring the heck out of the basketball.
Yeah.
But I mean, every team's built different. And Jesse, I think what you said is right. I don't know that organizationally everybody's on the same page about what they need to do to be successful. And that's kind of a problem.
You're never going to get on your front foot that way.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to be rolling the same direction.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a big problem, and like you got to figure out how you address that moving forward.
Yep.
Like again, like because being on the same page, it doesn't mean that you're a yes man.
Right.
That's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be a yes man to be on the same page. Like, you should challenge each other. You should be mm-hmm. able to challenge each other intellectually and push each other to be better as a front office and as a coaching staff. But at the same time, you should also, it should be within the confines of we are always on the same page, that we are always, the ultimate goal is to get better and to achieve a championship.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you have to be on the same page. It's like we're all pulling the same way.
Right.
And it's, you know, Rick Adelman would say, hey, Jeff, I need this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, I'll try to get you that. And if I can't, you know, just understand I tried. It's like, okay. And
right.
he would go, and then there were times where they would bring in players that's like, hey, everybody out there wants a shot blocker on this team. Let's try Keon Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, nope, that's not it.
Sure.
And very quickly, they're like, they're on the same page. That's not the answer. Like, that was an ingredient that didn't work. And so you have to continuously be on the same page, but also have communication where you're trying to move forward together.
Being on the same page in terms of, like, in this year's draft, You can't have somebody in the front office going, we need to trade this pick for Kyle Kuzma. And then somebody else saying, we need to use this pick on an 18-year-old so they can step in a couple of years and be a potential star for this team. And then another person going, we need Devin Carter. Another guard is what we're looking for. And then another person going, no, we need Tristan Da Silva because he's tall and he's experienced. Like, there's you can't have that type of different page. You can be on the same page and go, hey, we're all aware we need a like 3-4 type of big who's a defense first guy. You can argue about who that guy is. You can argue about who the best pick is. Or like, hey, you know what? One person's like, hey, but if we trade it, could we do this? That's what you're talking about. You can't have everybody going, we need Devin Carter. No, we need another Keegan Murray type. We need an 18-year-old. It can't be all. You can't be on a different page in that sense.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get to the Elk Grove Kia Talk on 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
What up, gentlemen? It's Big E.
Big E, what up?
I don't know who asked Monty this question earlier, but it was along the lines of why he fired Mike Brown, but like when he fired him, not just why. Like, I don't remember his response, to be honest with you, but, you know, the front office could have done it, like, the night after we lost to Detroit, or possibly the next morning, because we had that L.A. game on the road. Mm-hmm. But, no, it was, like, right before they're about to fly out on a game, and then that's when Doug finds out he's going to be the coach. Rudy Gay said it best. I didn't believe it, because I was a teenager when he said this, but this is basketball hell, man.
All right. Thanks, Biggie. Appreciate you. That's the other thing. We're talking about being on the same page. And Monty saying the decision to fire Mike Brown was my decision. I don't think it was. He's gonna say that. He's gonna own that, and he's just gonna say, "Yep, that was my call."
That's his job to own that right. that answer
but
right
if,
there.
Right. Yeah. That's just what the GM does, mm-hmm. even if he had nothing to do with it. Like that's why he's doing the presser. The problem with that is I think Mike Brown got fired when he did because not everybody was on the same page with it. I don't think everybody was like, hey, that Detroit loss, he's got to go. It's got to be done. Because if it was, you'd have a conversation with him that night.
Like, yeah. I mean, the problem is that when you get this far away from it, the nuanced details of the actual day mm-hmm. of and the week leading up to, like, it gets muddied, and we couldn't sit there and dissect it. If we would have had, again, if we would have had the press conference on Sunday after the firing, it would have been very specific. All of these questions would have been, like, front row and center. Mm-hmm. A month, 41 days later, those details don't nearly matter as much. I knew, like, the Sunday that they got blown out at home by Indiana, that things were about to happen. But the mm-hmm. team had a company Christmas party that night. And if you didn't do it that night, now we're talking about, are you going to fire a guy on Christmas Eve? Are you going to fire him on Christmas Day? You got to remember, the Detroit game is December 26th.
Yep.
The next morning is when the whole thing happens, and they've got a game the next day. Like, the semantics of whether they should have called Mike into the office and done it before he left the building, whether they should have let him coach the practice and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Yeah, all of that stuff could have been addressed, but that at this point is like very fine details to a story that's very old.
And no, I understand that, but if everybody's on the same page, if everybody in every decision maker in the Kings front office, Vivek, Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox, whoever, if they all knew after the Pacers game, hey, this guy's got to go. Well, all right. Well, that's the let's see. It's the 20. That game was the 22nd. A, you could do it the 23rd. But that was your Christmas party. So yeah. You don't want to mess up the Christmas party. Okay, that's fine. The 24th, 25th. All right, I guess he's coaching the game on the 26th. Okay, fine. The minute that game ends, call him in.
Yeah.
Or the next morning. Hey, Mike, get here at 8 a.m. Like, we got to have a meeting. And don't let him run the practice. Don't let him do a media session. Don't let him get in the car and start driving to the airport. That, to me, is an indication that not everybody was on the same page with what they were doing.
So certainly,
function they got to fix.
Yeah.
Certainly that the final decision had not been made until a very specific time. I mean, like, look, Mike went over and talked to De'Aaron, but before that, they were all in the gym together. Like, Monty and Wes were in the gym, which is very rare. They were in the gym. Like, like they were there. Like, they could have, like, had that conversation. They realistically, they should have, like, if they were going to do it that day, they should have done it before practice.
Yes.
And then you have, like, a really, really awkward practice, but it's like, hey, look, everybody, this is what we're doing. But here's the problem. It's all the other steps. They had to go to Doug. They had to check and see if Doug would accept the job. They had to figure out a pay structure for Doug before he takes a job. They have to figure out, like, what's the long-term and short-term deal that's going on here. So there is a lot more to it, but that's why you probably should have just canceled practice that morning and said, hey, look, we've got too much stuff we got to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And just cancel practice, and then everybody gets on the team plane together who's still with the team at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever it was to fly to LA.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, mistakes were made for sure, but again, we're so far away from it that's why, like, he didn't get drilled over all that stuff.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this for the third or fourth time now. I'm just going to beat this phrase into the ground. It's less about asking questions, answering questions. It's remembering the way all that went down when we're having a discussion about everybody in the organization being on the same page. It seemed to me that was a spot where not everybody was on the same page.
Yeah, I agree with you.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you would like to join the program. Hey, Zach LaVine's debuting tonight, FYI, everybody. That'll be fun. Should be interesting.
That, and we have flowers to give away.
We do have flowers to give away. You want to do that right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, we're
super
excited.
Tell the people what we're doing.
Yeah, we're super excited. This week, every single day this week, we're giving away a dozen long stem roses with delivery from our friends over at Strelitzia Flowers. Absolutely amazing people out of Strelitzia Flowers. It's a family-owned business out of Davis. Support local, especially at this time. And we are all in on these guys. They started their business by selling flowers out of a bucket on the campus of UC Davis. 52 years later, still in business. So if you go to ESPN1320.com right now, there's going to be a Strelitzia Flowers logo there. You can click on the logo, and we have a keyword. I don't know what the keyword is today, Kyle. What is it?
Red.
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 Red. That will put you in for a drawing to win a dozen long stem roses.
It's like the color red.
The color red.
Not I read a book.
No, R-E-D.
The color red, like red rose.
Yes, like red rose. You can also go to StrelitziaFlowerCompany.com and use the code RADIO224 for $10 off any purchase of $100 or more. We have a button right there on ESPN1320.com, so you can click that and go right to Strelitzia. Get ahead of this. Go get your flowers for your significant other for Valentine's Day, which is just a couple of days away.
Are the Kings going to make another trade?
I think so.
I think they'd like to.
Feels like it.
The idea sounds nice.
I think they have to.
On the podcast last night with Sean and Brendan, Sean's sources are telling him the Kings have two deals on the table that they're ready to execute. But again, I don't know that, you know, we've heard this before.
Yeah, was that not the case 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of?
Yeah.
Plan A, plan B.
Yeah.
The Kevin Durant thing has to be holding everything up, right? Like, if he's getting moved,
I don't think
that's just such a massive trade that it wouldn't surprise me. Everybody's like, well, hang on.
I'm not going to give the Kings that benefit of the doubt.
What do you mean?
That the Kevin Durant stuff is like holding up other deals for them, at least.
That's fair.
I will tell you that the Kings came up in Kevin Durant conversations on Saturday out of nowhere. I like, at this point, I'm not saying that that's something that could ever happen, because it was, hey, plan A, plan B type stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
But Kevin Durant was at least discussed, and I believe that they at least had discussions with the Phoenix Suns about Kevin Durant and what it would take for the Kings to get Kevin, whether that was with De'Aaron Fox still on the roster or not. I'm not sure.
I love the idea of plan A, Cam Johnson, plan B, John Collins. If none of that works out, we'll revert to plan C, Kevin Durant.
Hey, what's Kevin Durant doing right now?
Fine.
We have to. We're going to take a 35-year-old all his money, I guess. Only taking the 10th greatest player of all time, sure.
Yeah. We'll see what happens here, but I have a tough time believing that they're going to sit on their hands because as of right now, like, their jobs are still on the line. And, it is what it is. Like, you put yourself in a situation where you have a very, very similar roster. It's just there's a number 8 that says LaVine on the back instead of a number 5 that says De'Aaron Fox on the back.
Yeah, might be better in some ways, might be worse in some ways, but it's all going to come down to, I don't even think it's trade deadline action. How's the season end? It's a results-based business, man.
It's all matters.
If they do nothing else at the deadline and we lambaste them for it and then they go to the conference finals, they save their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to be. All right, James Hamm, get down to Golden 1 Center and cover the Zach LaVine press conference. Jesse and I will take you up through the rest of the show, plus your calls at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you are on the line, hang in there. We'll get to your calls next right here on ESPN 1320. We are the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's Sacramento Sports Center.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Get to your calls in a moment on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. James Hamm has stepped out. He has another press conference to cover at noon. Zach LaVine will be introduced to the media for the first time before making his debut tonight against the Orlando Magic.
I'd imagine that one will be a lot more happier.
That's Jesse. I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Jesse, the producer for D'Lo and Casey, hopping in with me. Nice enough to spend his morning at work. That's so kind of you.
We get paid to go on the radio, bro. It's fine.
I wonder if anybody... we'll have the stones to ask Zach LaVine what he thinks of the Kings roster construction and if they have enough size and athleticism.
Zach, what do you think of the team's defense and size? Love that. Imagine, he's like, yeah, and then we can upgrade it, honestly.
He's like, yeah, I heard Monty earlier.
Yeah.
Disagree.
Yeah, big thumbs down.
That'd be incredible. I don't think that question will be asked, and I don't think it will be answered in that way if it is.
That was Zach LaVine, though. He's a good player.
Is. Yeah.
Like, the Kings have their own debuts dysfunction.
Debuts tonight at Golden 1 Center. I'm really interested to see how this looks because integrating Zach LaVine into your offense, I know he's played with DeMar DeRozan before, but I don't think it's going to be just this seamless thing where you look and it's like, oh man, it's like they never lost De'Aaron because he's never played with this specific group of players before. He's a very ball-dominant guard. Does he step in day one and he's like, nope, this is my team? Or is he more deferential early on? I'm really, really interested to see what Zach LaVine looks like in his debut.
I like to think that, I mean, he'll fit in pretty well. I don't see this team taking a massive step back because De'Aaron Fox isn't here. Like, you got Zach LaVine in here now and all that, but my biggest thing is, like, the Kings were building towards something. At least they told us. Obviously trying to make the West Conference Finals, eventually all that stuff. And I just don't know with this current group what the ceiling is. Is this the team that, like, Kings fans can wrap their arms around now? Is this Beam Team 3, whatever you want to call it? Like, is Zach LaVine a Kings guy now? Is this it?
I don't think we'll know. Like, it's going to depend on if they win.
Mm-hmm.
If they win their next 10 games, then yeah, Zach LaVine's going to be the most popular player on the team.
Yeah.
If they win the next 10 and he's scoring 28 a night. But I don't, like, that's the thing is, while I didn't love this move for Sacramento, I don't think there's going to be some massive step back where all of a sudden they're finishing 40 and 42.
I think they'll at least be in the play-in this year. It's been so bad. I'd
be shocked.
It looks so ugly. They're only 2.5 games back at 6.
I would be shocked if they weren't in the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be shocked at all if they wind up in the top 6.
Yeah, to be honest with you. Like I said, it's looked ugly, but they're only 2.5 back of the Clippers, I believe, for 6th.
Yeah, I think they are on paper a little bit worse, but I don't think
you're going to be missing De'Aaron Fox's defense to the point where you're losing games now or anything like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested to see is, are they defensively now just going to be such a mess early in games that you go, man, they miss having a player who's a good on-ball defender. Or is it going to be one of those things that, like, yeah, hey, you know what? It comes up a couple possessions a game, but it's never, like, he scores enough that it makes up for it. And the offensive dynamic's going to be different because you have to guard Zach LaVine on the perimeter in a different way than you have to guard De'Aaron Fox.
The way I see it, too, is, like, you still have the same concerns and needs that you did before De'Aaron
no
Fox
doubt.
Got traded.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's why you talk about ceiling. They hit their ceiling in 22-23, and they've done nothing to raise their ceiling.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think Zach LaVine necessarily does that.
No, it's just like you said, you got to round out the roster. And DeMontis Sabonis, like Malik Monk, I think, may be the leader of this team, but Sabonis is now the best player. So it's like, just kind of do what you've been doing this season. I don't know if it's how far DeMontis takes him now or who.
It better not be. I'll tell you that much, man. Like, people have seen the take that De'Aaron Fox is not a one. Uh-huh. DeMontis isn't either.
So who do you think is the one on this team now?
It's Malik.
Okay.
Or LaVine. We have to like see how that dynamic plays out. But as of today, because that's not going to be DeMontis. A one is the guy that at the end of games, you're getting the ball to him and letting him work. The Kings actively avoid giving the ball to DeMontis late in games because that's not his bag. He's going to do all these other things to impact winning. You get down the stretch, you watch the Nuggets and you watch Jokic, just to play at the same position. He's got the ball.
Mm.
Low post, high post, on the perimeter, they get the ball to Jokic and he goes to work. That's just not DeMontis. You pick every other one in the NBA, that's what it is. If you want to call him their best player, I think that's right. By a pretty significant margin. But to me, the 1A is the player that in crunch time in a playoff series, they've got the ball in their hands and they are controlling the game.
You think Malik can elevate to another level? We've seen it every time he's gotten an opportunity. And
yeah.
I feel like that can kind of...
Yeah, I don't... Here's the thing. It's like to another level, you mean higher than what he's done this year?
Yeah, are we seeing the best of Malik Monk right now, or do you think we could see it with this elevated role?
I think we've seen it... What is he? 18 points, 6 boards this season. But what's his numbers as a starter? There we go. He's about 20 points, 7 assists, and 4 boards. Like, he's shooting 32% from 3 as a starter. Maybe that number ticks up a little bit.
Terrence brings up a good point right here. Malik's higher level might just be like more consistency.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a good take. Who'd you say that was? Terrence?
Terrence, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Terrence. I think that's probably right.
Yeah, that's a good point right there.
If he can consistently be 20-7 a night, yeah, I'll take that. And the thing with Malik, and this is, again, viewing this through the scope of the postseason, I'm not worried about Malik Monk in bright lights.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I believe he'll be better when the lights get brighter in that bigger role. So that's why I'm a firm believer that Malik Monk can elevate himself by being more consistent.
Yeah.
916-909-1320. 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up? Hey, Don.
Hello.
We're talking to you.
This person might have us on mute because there's no noise coming through.
Gone. They're gone. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
Hey, guys. Just a random quick question about Keon Ellis, actually.
Oh.
I think he's going to continue to be the X factor for the team moving forward. It's funny, even the team trading 3 guards away, I think it's still going to be hard to find minutes for him.
Sure.
I mean, at least enough. I mean, it seems like every time a starter goes out, he comes in, he just shows up and does something really incredible when you give him 30-plus. Do you guys think there's going to be any change in how Doug prioritizes him, or is it just going to be that sort of 20-ish minute mark we see when everyone's healthy? Thank you.
Thanks for the call. What was your name?
Ben,
thanks for the call, Ben. I don't think we're going to see a big change in Keon Ellis's minutes, at least right away.
Yeah.
But if defense becomes a serious problem to the point that we get in here every day, like, well, the Kings scored 130 last night and lost by 10, then I think maybe you see an uptick in his minutes, but I think he's going to continue to be like 20 to 25 minutes a night.
You kind of brought up a point that was yesterday, maybe the day before, about Keon. Like, when we get to the playoffs, and it's like maybe the starters aren't looking so hot, and it's like, all right, maybe we could use Keon to make a difference. Like, that's kind of what he is right now.
That's the...
He's breaking case of emergency for the Kings this season.
Yeah, that's I would like to see him start, and if that means DeMar DeRozan going to the bench, then so be it. But if that's not going to happen, and I don't think it will in the regular season, yeah, that's the playoff adjustment. Mm. That's the, we're getting killed by these two guards or whoever. We need more defense in our opening lineup. Here's Keon.
Keon feels like a guy where it's like, because like in the chatty house, everyone's like, oh, Keon should be playing 30 minutes, blah, blah, blah. It's like Keon feels like a guy where maybe it doesn't happen now, but like he's going to be maybe a 30-minute per minute guy or per game guy with the Kings.
If the Kings, like, at some point,
he's going to make it to where like you have no choice but to have him out there. Basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm there now. Mm-hmm. I might be early. I might be wrong. But if Doug Christie, he would never. But if Doug Christie called me and goes, hey, what should I do with the starting lineup? I'm like, dude, start Keon. Have a tough conversation with DeMar. And
don't think you can do that, though. That's not the one.
Who is it?
I don't know, but it's not DeMar. You can't move DeMar DeRozan.
Why not?
Because like you got to keep everyone happy, too. And I don't think you can move a Hall of Famer or whatever who was kind of brought here to take you over the hump.
Then get him out of here. If you're not into winning, if you're not into doing whatever
he is, but you brought me here to help you win.
Yeah, and they need right now bench production, and they need defense in their starting lineup. Keon, there's that bench production. Here's DeMar DeRozan. You can run the second unit. You can take a million shots. I don't care.
I see what you're saying, but it doesn't work that way. You can't. You can't throw DeMar
DeRozan. No, but it can.
No, it can. That's the thing. Because all this stuff matters.
This is not a player who's a 19-time All Star and 12-time All NBA. NBA champion, MVP. Like, he doesn't have all of that stuff on his resume where you're going like, yeah, hey, he has to start. Like, he doesn't.
Hall of Famer. He's Hall of Famer.
Is he?
No. Yes. 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 Yes.
No, yes. Yes. I was being dramatic. Yeah. No, but you can, like, at this point, you hit a phase of your career where, yeah, hey, you know what? Coming off the bench and playing 25 minutes a night is going to maximize your impact more than starting and playing 37 minutes a night.
I get it. Logically, sure. But you can't. You can't. It doesn't work.
All right, then you're not going to maximize what you are as a team. Cool. No, but at least DeMar DeRozan feels good about himself.
It's not about that. It's just keeping, like, there's just multiple things that go into it. You can't just throw DeMar DeRozan on the bench. You can't.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't. It's
super easy. I'll do it right now. Hey, DeMar. How's it going? You're obviously a great player.
Are you serious? They're about to throw me on the bench. Get me out of here.
Okay, great. Monty, make the call.
Now we stink even worse.
I disagree.
DeMar DeRozan, like he helped. He has a big impact on this team. I feel like he's been shortchanged this year.
Okay.
You feel differently, clearly.
I think he can continue having an impact.
No, you hate him. Just say it.
Coming in as a sixth man.
That's tough.
It fixes multiple problems.
We can't.
Notice they've been down 15, 17, 18, 20 in all these games. And then Keon starts and like, wow, look, they have a 10-point lead at halftime. Huh, weird.
See, Doug's going to call you, hey, what should I do with the starting lineup? You're going to suggest that. I'm going to yell, don't listen to Kyle. You can't do it. You can't do it.
I would not take my call in front of you. I would go outside.
Whatever. We're not benching DeMar DeRozan, though. Let's try
Don again. Don, you're on The Insiders. What's up?
Hey, guys. First and foremost, I just want to give a shout-out to James Hamm and the rest of the Sacramento media for, like, pressing and holding the front office accountable during that press conference. It feels like players and coaches are always held to that standard, so it's nice getting some more feedback from the front office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I wanted to touch base on what you guys were talking about earlier about it seeming like no one's on the same page. It feels like Vivek is running the organization like a tech company where there's a clear goal of like winning a championship, but all the middle management can't decide on how to make the product do that. Is there something that we can do to fix that, you know?
Good question. Thanks. No.
Well,
if you believe that ownership is running a team a certain way, there's nothing.
Well, there's always just the hope that they hire the right guy next, and they kind of go about it differently.
Like, yeah, maybe.
Like, I kind of like to use the Raiders as an example. Like, they've always been just kind of dysfunctional, too many cooks in the kitchen. Now you got Tom Brady, and it's like, I don't know if he's the sole one, but like, there's one guy making moves. And I think that's what the Kings need. Like, every time we talk about a move, it shouldn't have to be Monty or Wes or Monty, like, whatever. It should just be one person every time we are talking. You should not have multiple people here.
Hmm.
You need one guy, and you need that guy to make decisions. Now, there's a point where maybe he doesn't make the best decisions, and you start over after that. But, like, that's where it's got to start. It needs to be just one guy is the head honcho. Everyone else falls in line. Everyone can collaborate, but when it comes down to it, I make the decision here, and that's final.
Sure.
When you get,
I don't know that Vivek will take a step back and not be involved in those decisions, though. Like every team owner or team governor is going to be involved. Like it's there. They have to sign.
Yeah. On, like as far as hiring the guys. Yeah. Like hire your one basketball guy and then get out the way.
Right. That's it. And that's what I don't know. I don't know if the Kings will ever get there.
That's an issue.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of collaboration or whatever. Like as far as like
anti-collaboration.
My point is that like as far as like making big decisions. Mm-hmm. Like yeah, we can talk, but ultimately I overrule you and it comes down it falls on me. Like that's what I'm saying here.
Yeah, the GM assistant GM dynamic can't be whatever it is for the Kings.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree with you.
Yeah, I think that's honestly like also, a big start there. That handles half of your problems, I feel.
But like Vivek is also like a basketball fan. I think Vivek genuinely wants to win. And if he has an idea, I don't know this. This is me just speculating and guessing. If he has an idea about what winning basketball is supposed to look like, and Monty McNair's vision is aligned with Vivek's.
But, okay, that's fair, but you don't know. You don't know what winning basketball looks like. You don't.
Sure.
Since you've taken over, you don't. Like, you can have a vision and all that, but it hasn't worked. So get someone else to make the decisions.
I don't disagree with you.
I'm not yelling at you.
I'm not yelling at you,
all right?
You want to yell at me about DeMar DeRozan going to the bench? That's fine.
I love sports. That's all it is. But, like, that's the thing. Like, you can't be like, oh, like, I know what. No, you don't. Like, get someone else here who has, like, some status and all that and let them start making decisions.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. That's Jesse Tapia. He's in for James.
Real quick,
James
pragmatic pessimist. Yes, I want a King's tatership. I don't want a King's ocracy. I want a King's tatership.
King's tatership sounds like something that you can buy at a concession stand.
Oh yeah, let me get some cheese on that, please.
King's tatership with steak and cheese.
Yeah,
no,
that sounds great.
Jesse Tapia is there. I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm, he is on his way down to Golden 1 Center to cover the Zach LaVine press conference. I believe he'll be joining D'Lo and Casey at 3 o'clock if you're tapping in for more James Hamm. We'll be back in just a second. We'll have the handoff coming up with Damian Barlick right here on ESPN 1320. We are the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on Sacramento Sports Center.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And no James Hamm, just Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tapia has been filling in for James today. Kenny Caraway in the building for the handoff. What's up, KC?
What's going on, fellas? What's up? What's up? What's up?
I'm trying to bring DeMar DeRozan off the bench. That's what's up.
And I'm just shutting that down.
I'm the only person.
one man, wolf back.
I am like genuinely. I don't. Here's what I push back against. Mm. I push back against if your thought process is you start your philosophy is you start your five best guys. Mm-hmm. Then yeah, DeMar starts. He's one of your five best players to be totally clear. I am 100% on board with that. But we saw the Kings have a lot of success with Malik Monk being one of their five best guys coming off the bench and closing games. If that's your thought on it, cool. I reject what Jesse's take is and what you've said as well. I reject the idea that like you just can't do that. It's like you most certainly can. At some point, players hit a phase in their career where it's like, hey, you're not an All-NBA guy anymore. You're not an All-Star anymore. And to maximize your impact on the team, this is the role you're going to play.
Understandable, but I don't think he's there yet.
Okay.
I mean, since the coaching change, he's averaging like 23 points a night.
He's been really good.
Phenomenal. And he's doing what DeMar DeRozan has done his entire career right now. So I don't think you're not wrong about that. But I don't think he's hit that phase. I think he's fine.
And let me also make this clear. This is a Keon Ellis Kings defense related take.
Understandable.
And Kings, the way they start games related take. This is not a DeMar stinks and he needs to be benched.
Yeah, right. Kyle's trying to get Keon Ellis more minutes here in the start.
Yeah, right. That's not. So I also want to make that. This is not an anti-DeMar DeRozan take. It's a, I watch the Kings night in and night out get 9 points off their bench. And I watch Keon Ellis start and I watch the Kings play a lot better. And I go, wow, hey, there's a way to fix both of those things.
I completely understand. I just don't think this team is set up and constructed in a way where there's a pathway to that.
Okay.
Like if it would take, it's hard to explain like what it would take, but like to get Keon in there, you'd have to get either DeMar or like a Keegan out. And I don't think they can withstand getting either one of those guys out of the starting lineup.
Yeah. You just don't have the options at this point.
You don't think they can withstand that's the other thing I get hung up on. If your starting lineup is Malik Monk, Zach LaVine, Keon at the three, I know you're a little undersized, with Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis, I don't think you're like missing scoring.
No, you're not missing scoring. I mean I'm the guy where the starting doesn't really matter. It's about who's finishing games for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also a level of, and I think Doug Christie will look at this or whatever, may sound ridiculous, but there's a certain level of respect you pay to somebody like DeMar DeRozan.
No doubt.
Who is still performing at a high level. Like, sure. He's not Joe Johnson a couple years ago yet. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he's
still got it.
Late stage Carmelo.
Yeah, so you combine the respect with the production, and I don't think there's a need to.
I mean, ideally, the one that moves to the bench is Monk, but you don't have the point guard to fix that anymore.
I also want your thoughts on this, Kenny, because you're deeper into basketball strategy than I am. In 2025, is it that important to have a quote-unquote point guard?
Not necessarily. And then
you have Zach LaVine can handle the basketball, DeMar DeRozan can handle the basketball, Domantas Sabonis can lead the break. I just don't know. I don't know that having a point guard is that important, but I'm also not going to bench Malik.
Yeah, the traditional thought of like what a point guard was when we grew up, like that's kind of changed a little bit, a lot actually. Like you don't need like, oh, this is the one guy you get it to, and he, you know, puts the finger up in there and that's initiates off. Like it's not necessarily that. We got pick and roll. We got DHOs. Like you said, you got somebody like Sabonis and, you know, DeRozan brings the ball up and everything from time to time. So in the traditional sense, no.
But the Suns tried running that with Bill Booker and KD, right? Just one of those guys going to handle the basketball. And that failed. Just like they're not good now, but failed miserably first season.
The difference with that and a guy like, and maybe a reason why Malik Monk is still in the starting lineup is because none of those guys were creators for others. You put any of those guys in a pick and roll situation with Nurkic, and they can't get them the ball. They don't know how to, you know, spray it out, get the paint touch, and spray out to the three. That's not really their game. They're finishers more than creators for others. Malik Monk has an ability to do both. You know, we look at him as a finisher, but he's shown in his time here, like, he's a creator. Like, so you get him out there and you take his points per game down a little bit, but you ask him to facilitate and create just a little bit more. I don't want him to turn into Eric Snow, but, you know, but like just a little bit more. Well, you know, 2001 Sixers, that was my squad. Shout out Eric Snow out there with a bad ankle, you know, in the playoffs. Big ups to him. Just facilitate a little bit more, work on that pick and roll a little bit more, and he's got that ability to do it. So I think that's the difference between asking those guys at the Suns to do it and Malik and those guys.
I guess.
I don't think you're going to win this battle, though, Kyle.
No, that's fine. I understand that. I understand that I'm on an island here, and that's okay. I looked over at the chat. I pretty rarely, because I've got a million things happening.
And you're a busy guy.
I look over at what, and the first thing I see was, you just say anything.
Oh, man. Come on.
And that's when someone says, like, dang.
How's just the big for ratings guy.
What they said, what's the farmer? They said the engagement farmer.
Oh, yeah, engagement farming.
Oh,
engagement
dude, that's
farming,
me.
Now.
That's me. I'm just doing this for clicks. Will you agree with me that that's the move in a playoff series? if they're down 0-2 and they're just really struggling to start games?
No, because playoffs is when you need Damari for more, because that game slows down. Like people talk about, people talk about the game slowing down in the playoffs and how he keeps guys from running up and down. Damari's made for the playoffs. Damari's made for the playoffs, in my opinion. So yeah, well, I'm starting off with him.
Maybe just run laps.
I don't see a pathway, Kyle. Yeah. I don't see a pathway.
Hey, how many? I gotta do an underdog lineup. I got Domantas Sabonis lower than 17.5 points right now.
Go over. I mean more. Or I don't know what it is over there.
Higher. Higher or lower. Higher on 17.5 for Domas?
Yeah.
I just don't know. I think he's gonna be looking to facilitate.
He'll have a 20 piece tonight.
Do I want to go higher than 6.5 assists instead? Or is he not gonna have the ball in his hand? I don't know.
It's a good question. He's gonna have a big time.
He's
gonna have one of them nights, like 21, 15-9 or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, you're going to have one of them nights tonight.
I got to go Zach LaVine higher than 20.5 points, right?
I would love that. I don't know, though. Maybe he's trying to ingratiate himself into the offense. I don't know. I'm scared away from that one.
I'm feeling like a 6-for-15, maybe drops like 18 points or something.
18, that'd be a little deflating. I need
I got to have something for Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I need a 20 piece.
3.5 made free throws?
That's a good one. I was thinking three-pointers made.
Three-pointers made. I've got, where are we at? 2.5. I like the free throws made.
Let's go higher. Oh, you already got the free throws. Okay.
Yeah, I like the free throws.
You're going
like
higher with the free throws.
I'm going higher than 6.5 assists. And then I need one
Malik
for more.
Killing him with the assists. And my favorite one is the three-pointers made from Malik.
It feels like that and assists are cash every night. Yeah. This is, of course, Underdog's Pick'em game. Pick higher or lower on at least two player stats. You can win up to 1,000 times your entry. I'm doing basketball tonight, but you know I'm going to have stuff on the big game when the Chiefs and Eagles face off. I haven't made lineups yet. Who are you rooting for?
Chiefs.
I think I am too. Yeah. My body will tell me that day, because I always go into games and I'm like, oh, I'm going to root for this team. And then the game will start to happen. I'm like, can't do it.
You guys are NFC guys. You can't root for the Eagles.
Yeah.
What do you think? I am Micah Parsons out here? Yeah. No, I'm doing for the division. Yeah.
Let's take a lap, nerd.
Nerd. But no, I mean, I look at it. The Chiefs are already great. Like, what's another Super Bowl going to do? It's going to make
worse,
them even more. No, it's not.
It's way worse for the 49ers fans if the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree.
Way worse.
I agree.
Yeah, I think I'm there as well.
You can't be any more annoyed by the Chiefs by them winning another Super Bowl.
The Chiefs win, it's like your own little personal, Mahomes got to know. Like, no one realistically cares
the
about
Eagles,
Niners Chiefs.
Philadelphia fans, shout out to Matthew. Oh, gosh. I don't want them having anything good.
I have several friends who are Eagles fans. I love them. I will do anything for them. God, I hope they're miserable on Sunday. The Eagles are just a better team, though. It just has a
better team than the Chiefs?
Yeah. Like, more talent. Sorry, they're more talented than the Chiefs. For sure.
Yeah, defense is crazy. And you know I love that Chiefs defense.
Their Chiefs defense is crazy. Yeah.
There's some chinks in the armor in the AFC Championship game, though.
Yeah, there were.
Yeah, I was like, oh, the Russian is bleeding.
Underdog's the only pick and platform that puts the power to cash out in your hands. Now you can either keep riding with your entry or tap the win now button to cash out whenever you want. Underdog is the best place to play Pick'em. Download the app, sign up with promo code Kyle M, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code Kyle M. Here is my lineup for tonight. Domantas Sabonis, we're going higher than 17.5 points. Zach LaVine, we're going higher than 3.5 made free throws. Malik Monk, higher than 6.5 assists. I'm going Paolo Banchero, higher than 23.5 points for the Orlando Magic. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Kings winning tonight?
Yes.
Orlando has lost 9 of their last 10.
Bro, they're sneaky. Three games under 500.
Franz Wagner's playing. Paolo Banchero is playing. No Jalen Suggs. He's been out. But they're struggling badly.
Franz is playing? I thought he was out.
No, Franz is. He might be back tonight.
He was back the other night. I was watching.
Is he out?
But I think he's been ruled out yesterday.
I have not looked. I've been neck deep in a Monty McNair press conference all morning. So,
well,
I have not.
Haven't we all?
Are you guys discussing that on
a little bit? Casey? A little bit. Plus, we're going to have the Zach LaVine press conference.
Oh, you're taking that live?
Yeah.
All right. We'll have the Zach LaVine press conference coming up here in a second. 24 hours and 4 minutes, the NBA trade deadline. If the Kings are going to do stuff, we'll have it for you right here on ESPN 1320. That's Kenny Caraway, D'Lo, and KC coming up next. Jesse Tapia, great job today. Appreciate you filling in, and salute to James Hamm for driving all the way out to fill in or to jump in for a couple of segments before going back down to cover the Zach LaVine press conference. For Jesse Tapia, I'm Kyle Madsen. This is The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. Sacramento sports leader, D'Lo and KC next. Until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water, be nice, people. See you.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.